This is Tri-State's Public Radio News. 150 years ago this week, the U.S. House voted to impeach Democratic President Andrew Johnson. So for President's Day, I talked to a couple historians about Johnson and other presidents who faced impeachment. The House vote against Johnson came along party lines on February 24, 1868. A few months later, the Senate fell one vote short of removing Johnson from office. Western Illinois University professors of history Ginny Boynton and Richard Philippink say an impeachment is equivalent to an indictment in criminal court.
So you bring charges. The House brings charges, and then it goes to the U.S. Senate for the actual trial.
The process that's evolved from the congressional system is that usually the House Judiciary Committee draws up the articles of impeachment, the indictment of the president, and the full House has to vote, and you need a majority of the House to undertake the first stage, impeaching the president.
And two-thirds in the Senate for conviction.
Does the House have any further role in this process?
Well, they essentially, the members of the House Judiciary Committee tend to serve as the prosecuting attorneys in the Senate trial. So the president's on the hook for his own attorneys, but the House does continue the prosecution.
So would you still technically say the president was impeached if the House votes to do that?
Yes.
Yes.
He was impeached. Clinton was impeached, but neither was convicted.
In the case of Andrew Johnson, why were House members upset with him?
That was, I would say, more political. They had passed the Tenure of Office Act to try to prevent him from removing specifically Secretary of War Stanton, but basically anyone who had been appointed with the approval of the Senate, with the consent of the Senate, to prevent him from removing someone like that without also getting the consent of the Senate for removal. And he felt that was unconstitutional, and he removed Stanton anyway. So he violated this act, which had been passed over his veto. And so it was primarily for that action that they impeached him.
And Johnson deliberately violated the,
yes,
the law because he felt it was unconstitutional. The Republicans controlled both houses of Congress at this point and had taken over the process of Reconstruction from Johnson, who they felt had been too lenient with the South.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Johnson did this, it was fully expected that they would come out and impeach him.
So Johnson is one of the a famous case of an attempted impeachment. And, of course, just 20 years ago, it was Bill Clinton. And then we also had Richard Nixon in the 1970s, though they didn't quite get a chance to impeach him, correct?
Right. The House Judiciary Committee did create three articles of impeachment. They did approve three articles of impeachment for obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and for refusing to obey subpoenas from the House. Which would have gone to a House vote, but Nixon resigned before he could get to that stage in the proceedings.
He was, as I understand it, essentially told by his fellow Republicans that he would lose if it went through the impeachment process. So
and went to the Senate, that he would not have the votes to stay in office.
Yeah.
No, this group of Republican senators met with Nixon after the House Judiciary Committee voted and essentially said, You have fewer than five votes, and we are not among them.
It seems like, you know, there were calls to impeach Clinton. I feel like people were calling to impeach George W. Bush, Barack Obama, certainly the current president. Is this common throughout history that people will cry for an impeachment even if nothing actually happens?
Particularly, I don't think.
It's more of a 20th century phenomenon.
Yeah,
because technically speaking, under the Constitution, it clearly states that you can impeach and remove a president or other federal official for treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And what has happened over the last 225 years is Congress has defined high crimes and misdemeanors as crimes, as violation of actual laws. That's not really the meaning under English common law, but that's the way the Americans have interpreted it. So in the aftermath of Andrew Johnson's failed impeachment, it was seen as a tool that was unusable for presidents until the 20th century, until Richard Nixon.
Impeachment is a constitutional tool that Congress generally has been hesitant to employ. I mean, they've done it on occasion, but they haven't done it particularly at the presidential level, obviously, very often.
And one of the key things to keep in mind is that although there have been instances of partisan uses of impeachment, it's always important to evaluate the evidence, what is actually being argued, what the president had done. In the case of Nixon, we'll go to the easy one, the initial response was largely partisan in defending Nixon. Mm-hmm. As the evidence started to become public, though, it started to become an issue of, did this president commit these crimes? And the answer became increasingly obviously yes. And so it's important to try and move beyond the sort of partisan attack to actually evaluating the evidence and determining whether or not this is an actually impeachable offense.
Richard Philippink and Ginny Boynton are history professors at Western Illinois University. They both believe the impeachment of Democratic President Bill Clinton in 1998 was Republican revenge for the attempt to impeach Republican Richard Nixon in 1974. Philippink feels that over time, some Republicans forgot about the criminal evidence against Nixon and instead saw his case as a partisan battle. I'm Rich Egger, Tri-States Public Radio News.